judged of other nations, the calamity of our people, plus the Bill Cosby sentencing.
Nobody really want Fuego. Messiah will bring fire down worse than Waco. Why you some coffee and Lego? Your egos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mayo. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo. But the Messiah ain't playing no Wagos. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Even with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado? Or better yet, the lava from the volcano. They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go. For all the wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinidad Tobago, I'm spitting these words so our Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it? Cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sins so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath. Or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. From the one that's super dead.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
from the one that's super dead.
Fuego.
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 Brother, you don't want that fuego.
You don't want that fuego.
Fuego.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I'm Captain Yashua.
Shabbat shalom, Captain Aparia.
Hey, shalom, Most High Christ Bless, Officer Amariah.
Shalom, Most High Christ Bless, Soldier Uziel.
He said that like this wasn't his first time on the show. Like, yeah, it's just me.
Yeah, it's just me.
Soldier Uzi.
I'm here.
Premiering for the first time on the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show, Soldier Uziel. I gotta get my applause, but I don't have to blow. Like, get a laugh first. And I don't want you to think they were laughing at you.
Welcome, bro. Welcome. Welcome.
We're laughing with you.
Oh, man. Hey, what's this? What's up right now? I've got to hear this.
It gets people to see us in a different light. You know, a lot of times you just see us on the street
they have this misnomer that we're this, you know, patriot and all types of things like that. You know, hate can't reside in the children of light. You know what I'm saying?
The whole thing about the lecture up there is I consider that like a pilot for the U.S. region as far as how to push things, how to present things, and now we see how it went, and now we can grow from that going forward.
So
it was good. It was a success.
All praises. Yeah, it definitely was. I think the video is really going to speak volumes too. Do we have any word on that? Like that, we can't be waiting weeks for that to come out. I mean, I know it's long. So.
I will reach out today. They know to send
it
to me directly once it's done. So.
All right, make sure you stay on it for that.
You know,
Bishop was a Suriname, and then like you know, the end of that week, we were getting videos of what went on out there.
Right.
That's kind of how we need to be, you know, and have those things set up. So. So, a lot of things going on, man, in the media, like always, right? I mean, the world's constantly buzzing, a lot of things going on. Interestingly enough, you know, I was discussing with Captain Aparian, like, what we might talk about on the show. Like, you know, like we do every week, we kind of touch base with each other. Hey, what are we going to go over? What are we going to talk about? It's like, hey, you know, we got the Bill Cosby thing, and then, you know, Brett Kavanaugh kind of basically being accused of the same type of behavior. Yeah, I know there's little details that are different. I would almost say it's obviously a different situation because, you know, I'm going to go on record and say, you know, you have to understand the context of when Cosby was doing these things. Now is he an adulterer? Sure, right? If these things are true and he slept with these women, right? And they're going to say it is true because he got convicted, but let's just go with that, right? I'd say he was an adulterer, sure. But understanding that lifestyle, the time it was and what's going on, you know, listen, that's the life when you're in, that's why they have things called groupies when you're in music, right? When you're in the sports teams, they got groupies and all this other stuff. So essentially what you had is what amounted to groupies. Okay. And they're saying that he took advantage of them. You know, I mean, listen, I'm gonna tell you, when you're there partying and you're both popping pills and doing different things, and then maybe you didn't get the outcome that you wanted. You didn't get the movie part, television role, money, whatever it was. Now you're going to come up with stuff like this. Right. But whatever. That's just the way it is, right? And we understand that. So, you know, today I wanted to talk about a few different things in regards to that. You know, Parim, I was actually, when I go to post links, I'm going to let you kind of speak a little bit. I know you had some thoughts on this. So today's show is called Judged of Other Nations, The Calamity of Our People. And then I put plus the Bill Cosby sentencing because it all goes together. You know, when I get to the Kavanaugh piece, not everybody understands the Supreme Court and how that works and, you know, why it's so important in the political realm of things. You know, in the bigger scheme of things, it's not important to us because the guy's in control of all that stuff. But, you know, it's good to understand these things, right? And, you know, we got allegations of, you know, sexual misconduct against the nominee, Brett Kavanaugh. You know, he's holding himself blameless in these things. And, you know, we'll express the gravity of what and the hypocrisy of what's going on here, you know, as we go through the show. But, you know, you got to understand the dynamic that's being at play here. And while it gets you angry, maybe even sometimes frustrated, I'm frustrated less so for me, it's because understanding that, you know, this is just what's happening to us in general as a people when we see these things, it's just right. So, you know, I got more that I want to say, but I'll wait till I get to my parts on it and stuff like that. I'm going to go ahead and just kind of post some links a little bit. Real quick, some housekeeping. 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797 is the call-in number. Questions, comments on any of this. For more understanding, IsraelUnite.org, www.IsraelUnite.org. We have lessons. You find out more about Israel United in Christ. From the horse's mouth, right? Not from, you know, second, third hand information. And additionally, you can go ahead and check out originalloyalty.com for some of this music that we were speaking about, some of the, you know, apparel, different shirts, designs, fringes, books, different stuff that, you know, to help you represent your Israelite lifestyle, you know? Captain A, I'm going to throw it over to you real quick while I post a couple links. You can, I know you have some thoughts on this and, you know, just the parallels and the hypocrisy of kind of what's going on here. So
Yeah, sure. All praises. Messiah Christ bless listeners. So before I give, you know, my thoughts on the Bill Cosby situation and how it parallels with what's going on with the Supreme Court judge nomination confirmation hearings and the allegations against him, make no mistake about it. You know, he wasn't repentant, obviously, you know, so we're not condoning any of his actions that happened. I mean, I don't doubt for one second he did have sexual relationships with all the women, probably.
Right.
Right. But like Captain brought out, I'm old enough to remember during that time in the 70s, there was a Hugh Hefner, who was the founder of Playboy magazine. There was a Playboy club in Manhattan that was frequented by a lot of athletes, entertainers, actors, actresses. I mean, the who's who, like they say, used to always attend that that place. And then he had a mansion where I think out here in California, right, if I'm not mistaken,
mm-hmm.
was his mansion where you went and you did fornication, basically. I mean, you went there, you knew he had women for you, and everybody was going to have sexual relationships in his establishment. So definitely not condoning that, because we know, according to the scriptures, it's adultery. All right. He was married at the time. And even if he wasn't, it's still adultery, right? It's still fornication. Mm-hmm. But it's the interesting thing about it is a few things, you know, some, you know, I have law enforcement background. If I'm not mistaken, it was like, statutes of limitations, I think, were expired, or they were just about to be expired.
She was the one that
still new enough.
Yeah, like it was 2004, so it still met the statute of limitations.
Wow. First of all, you got to understand something. Right now, there's a thing called a Me Too movement. All it is woman empowerment movement. That's all it is. And they have this lawyer. The hell is her name? She represents. She's just a man hater, in my opinion. Catherine Albright, right? Something like that, I think her name is?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, anyway, whoever's representing them, she loves these cases. She jumps on the bandwagon. She's capitalizing on a movement that's going on right now, all right? Led by Esau, just like the pants, wearing pants movement was led by Esau, okay? A woman's liberation, the burning of the bras to prove their status in society. They had that picture with the woman with the handkerchief or like the muscle.
Yeah, the women's lib. That's the women's lib movement.
The women's
lib
movement.
We can do it too. And
we can do it too, sister, or something like that. It's said on the whole thing. That's all part of, and you've heard us go over it on the shows. It's all part of the strategy to go ahead and keep us asleep, meaning the blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, who are the true Israelites, who are God's chosen, because this is a war. Okay. It's a war, because that's why in second book of Ezra, chapter 6, if I'm not mistaken, it says Esau is the end of the world, and
yes.
and Jacob is the beginning of it that follow it. From Genesis to Revelation, it's always been about Jacob and Esau. Not so much in the names, but it's been a spiritual battle between good and evil, between right and wrong. And guess what? That's the parallel we're seeing now. It's no mistake that they... having these hearings, well, let me put it this way. The hearings were already set. It's punishing Bill Cosby as a huge criminal at the same time of these hearings. Because make no mistake about it, in my opinion, I would be very, very surprised if this Brett Kavanaugh,
mm-hmm.
okay, just the stipulations that they put out, can't have any other people testify, it was only you, you're only going to get asked questions by a prosecutor, he's going to get asked questions by the Senate, the same people that want him in. It's just all a farce, okay? But at the end of the day, right in front of our faces, it's showing who's the power. It's showing, give me Job 9:24. This is what it's showing. When are you going to get it? It's showing that the Bible is a true book.
The book of Job, chapter 9, verse 24. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked.
The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. Malachi 1:1, and we're going to go right back to that. Who is the wicked? Who is the earth given to? That's the Bible, the Most High calls the wicked.
Malachi chapter 1, verse 4. Whereas Edom saith.
Edom is the biblical name, okay, for the white man or Caucasian man that we ignorantly call that. Okay?
We are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places.
Well, they became impoverished at 193 AD when the revolt was led by Septimius Severus, an Israelite man who defeated the Romans, and we ruled all the way up to 1453 during the Renaissance. But when they became impoverished, that's when they became the cavemen. Okay? You got to know your history. That's when they were impoverished. They were put into the clefts of the rock, into the mountains, okay, living in caves. They are the original cavemen and the only cavemen. They like to portray us, call us monkeys and all of this stuff, but they are the – that's historical fact.
Mm-hmm.
This is why they call themselves Caucasian. That's just like a reminder, like, hey, remember, we're them, okay? But this is why predominantly they don't like when you call them out as being Esau. Okay, and this is not a racial thing or anything like that. It's what the Bible says. That's what the Most High put in the spirit of Isaac and Rebecca to call him. Okay, and he called him that because Esau means wasted away is he. He came out with no pigmentation. Okay, and his brother came out like everyone else that was walking the earth at that time, a cut different colors of brown. Okay, so they were impoverished. They were sent into the mountains. Okay, they became the cavemen. You see that movie Quest for Fire? Matter of fact, they got that one right.
Mm-hmm.
It was all Esau on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All Esau. And then, of course, they had to make Jake look like all painting and all crazy and stuff like that. But that's not how it really went down. All right? So go ahead.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts.
Thus saith who?
Thus saith
the Lord of hosts. This is the Most High God speaking. He's speaking throughout the whole Bible through in the spirit through the prophets. But this is him speaking. Go ahead.
They shall build, but I will throw down.
They shall build. Okay, now, 1453, they came back into rulership. Okay, during the Dark Ages, they call it Dark Ages, just a brief history, because we dark people were ruling during that time. You see family crests and different types of artifacts, okay, with people of color, all right, ruling during that time. Okay, go ahead.
And they shall call them the border of wickedness.
They shall call them what?
The border of wickedness.
Job 9:24.
The book of Job, chapter 9, verse 24. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked.
Edom, Esau, who today we ignorantly call the Caucasian and the white. Go ahead.
The faces of the judges. He covered the faces of the judges.
The true judges' faces have been covered. And the mockery that they're honoring this man as a judge. They're looking to confirm him as a judge. The highest seat that once you're confirmed, you got to die. Okay, or I think resign is how you get out of it. You can't even get fired from there, if I'm not mistaken. Okay?
Okay.
The highest law enforcement.
Okay?
Okay. And they're proving to you right there, hey, one of your people, Bill Cosby, the one that you looked up to, the one that was really, even though he wasn't a Bible, he was really for his people. Okay, you hear a lot of people coming out about that. He was always about that. The minute he decided he wanted to go ahead and say, what's the problem here? I wouldn't be surprised if it's 100% accurate. And he wanted to buy NBC.
His whole life turned around. Mm-hmm.
They were like, nah. You cool, you entertain us. I remember the kid we had to buy a novel and a white boy. Okay, so jokes on him. Vinyl. Okay. And he's on
white cover.
Right now, because the scripture says what?
Job 9:24? The earth is given into the hand of the wicked.
Because it's given into the hand our rightful place of rulership according to the scriptures, that's Bible prophecy, and we're going to be back in the judgment seat. Okay, go ahead.
If not, where and who is he?
Okay, because we don't even know. We're looking at this, and we look at the Supreme Court. Okay, so they got one brother on there. They got one Jake. Okay? But you know he ain't really Jake. You know his spirit is all about. He's come up with some things, but he'll, even if he does feel a certain way, he can't say anything. He's outnumbered. He's outnumbered. This is the highest law position in this country that you can have. So it's just the irony, and me and Captain Yaz were talking about it yesterday, just the irony how they're portraying him. They pass the conviction at the same time. It's just they don't do things there. That's all part of the psychological tactics, all right, the psychological warfare to let you know who's still in command.
Right, right. Oh, that's it? Well, that was a Parham's rant. I thought we were supposed to do like a thing where you get like hot fire for like 5 minutes and whatever.
I think I was mortified on that one.
It's good. So we'll come back to the Cosby thing and make the parallel, but I think people need to understand a little bit about the Supreme Court, right? So you mentioned some points about it, but I want to read about it. So first off, you got to understand that this is an establishment that's 229 years old.
Hmm.
All right. They have here was established March 4th, 1789. They say in the world of politics that this is the single greatest power the president of the United States has. This is the lasting impression if during his tenure he is able to nominate somebody to the court.
Hmm.
Because I don't know if it'll say it here, but I remember when we, you know, you take history and government, they'll tell you that, you know, about the checks and balances and all this other stuff. And they'll say the judicial system, specifically the Supreme Court of the United States, is probably the most critical and the most powerful position that's held there for a couple reasons, right? It's a presidential nomination with Senate confirmation. So the president gets to pick his candidate, right, his nominee, and then the Senate does what they've been doing in the news. So you see all this stuff, Kavanaugh in the headlines, and they're talking to him, and they're grilling him. Same thing like when they were grilling Ben Carson and everybody else for the different nominations, right? But the reason the Supreme Court is so critical, all right, is that, as the captain had mentioned, it's a lifetime tenure.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do in playing politics like they do, if you're a conservative president, you try to get a conservative nominee. And if you have more conservative nominees, there's nine on the board, they have to vote majority, right? There's nine on the panel of judges. You'll have somebody there that can sway it. So you basically try to line this thing up so that you can have a more liberal court or a more conservative court. And this is why these things are important, right? So we're going to read here. So it says, it is the highest court in the federal judiciary of the United States, the highest, established pursuant to Article 3 of the U.S. Constitution in 1789. It has original jurisdiction over a small range of cases, such as suits between two or more states and those involving ambassadors. It also has ultimate and largely discretionary. Discretionary means bias can be set in, opinion can be set in. Discretionary is another way to basically say interpret.
Just largely.
Right? So the Supreme Court interprets the Constitution, meaning since those guys aren't around that were here 200 years ago, what did they mean by this and how do you make this relevant today? Mm-hmm. Somewhat similar to how the Bible is brought out, except we know that this is spiritually divine.
Right.
So, you know, as you're keeping the laws and what have you, you're able to stay to the letter of the law. Men are not infallible, right? And they're corruptible. We understand this. So you're putting people on here hoping that they have this sense of morality and that they can't be bought or persuaded based on things. But that's not true, because if not, there wouldn't be all this politicking and why it's so critical about this guy being put on the bench, especially in light of these allegations, right? So it says they have ultimate and largely discretionary appellate jurisdiction over all federal court and state court cases that involve a point of constitutional or statutory law. They interpret
the Constitution based on whatever cases are being brought up. You know, lawyers say you can litigate anything, right? That means it don't matter how ironclad something is or whatever. So don't think the Constitution ultimately, like, they could overturn, like, you know, women are always talking about, oh, abortion, Roe versus Wade. That was settled by the Supreme Court.
Right.
And it was largely why? Because at the time, it was a largely liberal court.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, okay, here, you put a bunch of conservatives on there, right? And we're actually for that. That's why, you know, they use these terminologies, but we're for not having abortions and things like that, right? At least among our people. It says the point of constitutional statutory law. So it says the court has the power of judicial review. Judicial review is the ability to invalidate a statute for violating a provision of the Constitution or an executive act for being unlawful. So they have discretionary interpretive powers to invalidate any law of the land, and they can use the Constitution as the excuse for that and say, well, I interpret the Constitution as this,
wow,
so I can take this law and say no. This is why this is all over the news and why it's so critical who sits on the bench. When these people retire, it's a big deal because they're like, wow, you know, This is huge. That's why it was a big win for Barack Obama when Sotomayor got on there.
Mm-hmm.
Liberal, woman, Hispanic,
yeah.
Right? So it says you have to understand the power that this has. It says, however, it may act only within the context of a case in an area of law over which it has jurisdiction. The court may decide cases having political overtones, but does not have power to decide non-justiciable political questions. Each year, it agrees to hear about 100 to 150 of the more than 7,000 cases it is asked to review. So I remember, if you've seen The People versus Larry Flint, that movie,
right?
Just from a drama standpoint, it's actually a pretty good movie. And he was having it was such a big deal when he was like, oh, the Supreme Court's going to hear our case. The stuff that he was saying against, Jerry Howell, whatever, the pastor.
Right.
Right, because he was saying certain things against him.
Right, Larry Flint was the founder of Hustler.
Hustler magazine.
So,
that's who Larry.
So
Flint.
At that time, the country was conservative. Right, they were against.
Right, right, and so it was a big deal when he got heard, and he won. Mm-hmm. And he won. Right, Edward Norton was his lawyer now. He was still young, coming up, you know, as an actor. Right, so it says, according to federal statute, the court normally consists of the Chief Justice of the United States and 8 Associate Justices. So within that, they even have a leader amongst themselves, right, who are nominated by the president and confirmed by the Senate. Once appointed, justices have lifetime tenure unless they resign, retire, or are removed from office.
Mm-hmm.
Only way you get out of there, right? Each justice has a single vote in deciding the cases argued before it. The Chief Justice vote counts no more than that of any other justice. However, the Chief Justice, when in the majority, decides who writes the court's opinion. Otherwise, the senior justice is in the majority assigns the writing of a decision. In modern discourse, the justices are often categorized as having conservative, moderate, or liberal philosophies of law. These are the key parts. See, this is why this is a corruptible system.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is incorruptible because there's no leeway for conservative, moderate, or liberal philosophies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
It's what it is. This is what makes it so powerful. This is why the scripture says this is your knowledge in the sight of the nations. This is why this is the marker for correct judgment. And if you sit there in any other way and you start to say, well, I can't obey a God that's it's all right to kill babies or kill this. And we don't mean, you know what's, you know the hypocrisy in that? That's the same person that's okay with abortion.
Yes, right. Yep.
But then is mad when you say God is responsible for a baby dying in a car accident.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's philosophies.
You can't be mad at that if you're okay with abortion. You can't.
Right. And, you know, I like that I use the word philosophies because we have Colossians. Get that for me real quick. I know you have some stuff there. If you want to bring something out, you can stop me.
Oh, no. I was just going to bring out Isaiah 34 and 16 when it says that seek ye the book of the Lord and read, and then shall want her made.
Yeah, read it. Read it real quick.
This is Isaiah 34, verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. None of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them.
That's the heavy part.
Mm.
That's the thing. This Bible can't be, just like Captain said, it is what it is. It's keep the commandments and live. It's you can't mate this with any other philosophies and doctrines outside of what God says that we must do as a people.
It's left or right.
Exactly.
It's black or white. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? And then that's why I get pissed off when people say that the Quran's the only true book because it hasn't been tampered with. And if that's the case, then why is Islam now mixing together with the Scientology?
Right.
It lets you know that that's not true. That this is the only true book. And like you said, it's there's no left, there's no right. It's just what God says. He said these are the straight commandments which I give you.
Straight being the key word.
Exactly.
Meaning there's no a discretionary view. There's no philosophy mm-hmm. of what you have on the law. We don't philosophize. See, you know who does do that stuff? I don't even know if that's a real word. It sounds like falafel. philosophize. Philosophize. Maybe I just made that up. I was trying to make it a verb, essentially. So, right.
It sounds good to me.
I'm going
to
go with it. We don't philosophize.
Dictionary.
Right?
Philosophize.
Hey, they be adding stuff to the dictionary every year. They add new words.
Yeah, based on us. Based
on stuff that we say anyway, right? So I'm going to push for that to be a word. Hashtag philosophize.
Hashtag.
All right? Philosophize.
Bring it out.
You don't philosophize these scriptures, but you know who does? Seminary school, theology.
Oh, absolutely.
Degrees.
Yeah.
Apologists.
Yep.
They philosophize this, and in their attempt to make it modern, right? It says here, let me get the point where it was saying, it says modern discourse. In their attempt to make the Bible modern discourse, because it's not their book, and when you're not in the spirit and keeping the law, statutes, and commandments in the faith of Christ, you're not able to convey that. We're able to convey that into people, and what they deem, a lot of times they use the word archaic. Right. And how we look at things, and that's not there anymore. And we don't do those type of things. You know, they'll use fancy words like I can't remember what the topic. I'm going to pronounce it wrong. But basically things saying it's our own interpretation or whatever, when in reality, we're the ones that go straight by what it says.
Right.
And their hypocrisy brings that out. You know what it is? Again, it goes back to the philosophy thing. Get me that in Colossians about philosophies. All right.
The book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit.
They are philosophies of law. You guys put it goes with Isaiah 30, where it talks about you trust in the shadow of Egypt.
Right.
All
right.
You're supposed to trust in the Bible and God's straight commandments and God's straight judgments. And what you do is you put your support in this system. Right. Go ahead. Read.
After the tradition of men. After the rudiments of the world.
Rudiments, we've gone over this, means something incomplete, partial. Their whole judicial system, their whole setup of how they govern is taken part and parcel from the scriptures. But then they put their philosophies in it, so it's not the completeness of what the Lord intends.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not when they're, sitting on horses and, you know, we're the ones that are servants, right? Princes on their feet, servants on horses, right? It's upside down. So you understand that it's a rudiment in a lot of ways, and also chiefly because of the way their judgments are. They invalidate, right? That's another term we read. They have the ability to invalidate a statute, which is a law, for violating a provision of the Constitution. They take it a step further, and they invalidate God's law,
mm-hmm.
all right, with all their stuff that they put out, with their philosophies of law. Was that internet?
And not after Christ.
And not after Christ, because Christ is the embodiment. Christ came in the volume of the book. So even, you know, we don't have to go out of our way to mention Christ all the time, right, as like an asterisk,
mm-hmm.
right? Because Christianity, that's another thing they get on us for, because we don't say Christ enough. Trust me, we know without Christ, the laws without Christ don't do anything.
Right.
And guess what? Christ without the laws don't do anything either.
Right.
All right? They're one and the same. You can't separate them. You can't. That's why he says, I am the way, the truth, the life.
Yeah, you're in the spirit. I was just going to say
that. Right?
That's why he says that I am the word made flesh.
Right. That's why he said, these words I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. Right? You know?
Right.
I mean, John 1.
We can go on forever.
Talk about
ever,
the word
never,
was made flesh.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's not that complicated, right? I don't need to spend $1,000 in a seminary school that's run by opinions and philosophies, all right, to tell me that this is the right way to interpret the Bible. Yo, how twisted is that? That you got to pay a system that's all about philosophy and liberalism, all right, to get a piece of paper to say, hey,
when
I can break the Bible down.
When all you got to do is go to Psalms 111 and 10 and then see that it's
that's it. That's it. And that's free.
And then
it's financial aid.
That a good understanding have all they that do his commandments.
That's it. You roll from there.
Very simple.
A good understanding of all they that do.
He said financial aid.
Financial aid. So let me get back on here. So it says, the conservative, moderate, or liberal philosophies of law and of judicial interpretation. Judicial interpretation. So I like that term, right? And I want to read it real quick. Judicial interpretation refers to different ways that the judiciary uses to interpret the law. It's interpretation. You have to understand that. I'm gonna, you know, I like to do definitions. I'm gonna be doing some definitions in class today too.
Bring it out.
Bring it out, Hawk. Right. Right. Hold on. Okay. I don't like this one. I want to go to the one for dictionary.com. I don't like Google. Be giving me some weird ones.
Like Urban Dictionary.
It gives you a largely discretionary definition.
It gives me a largely discretionary definition. So interpretation is from the word interpret. Interpret. I was just reading how it makes you pronounce it. Interpret. So the first one, this is a verb, right? So it means they're doing something to it. It says to give or provide the meaning of, explain, explicate, elucidate. I like elucidate. That's a good word.
Elucidate.
Okay, to interpret the hidden meaning of a parable. That's a righteous thing, right? We do that when we bring the meanings of parables out and things like that. But that's not what they're doing when it comes to the law.
Nope.
All right? It says to construe or understand in a particular way.
That's good and right there.
Right? And you render that, you put that together with what we read about their philosophies. Judges in modern discourse are seen as conservative, moderate, or liberal in their philosophies of law, right? And then, you know, then we gotta get philosophy. Gotta get the definition of philosophy. Philosophize.
But Wikipedia changed it.
Philosophy. I was spelling it wrong.
P-H-I-O-S.
I spelled it wrong here too.
P-H-I-L-O-S-P-H-Y, I think. Philosophy.
Yeah.
Sound it out.
There we go. It was just my finger. Okay. the rational investigation of the truths and principles of being, knowledge, or conduct. Any of the three branches, namely natural philosophy, moral philosophy, and metaphysical philosophy. A particular system of thought based on such study or investigation. A system of principles for guidance. Okay, here we go. An attitude of rationality, patience, composure, and calm in the presence. No, that's not it. That's, oh, he's so philosophical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. This is the one. The critical study of the basic principles and concepts of a particular branch of knowledge, especially with a view to improving or reconstituting them. To reconstitute something, you ever get like you read ingredients or something, it'll say reconstituted, you know, orange, you know, juice or whatever, right? It's reconstituted, meaning they deconstruct it and they put it back together, mm-hmm. all right, in their form or way, okay? Mm-hmm. Meaning not its original, right, when you reconstitute something. So it says the reconstituting of them. To return to the liquid state by adding water, that's why I use the orange juice thing, right, because it comes from reconstituted, made from concentrate. Right, so it says. Let me go back to. I'm using two browsers here, so that I can still keep an eye on the radio side. So judicial interpretation. So they interpret, right? So we read judicial interpretation means refers to different ways the judiciary uses to interpret the law, particularly constitutional documents and legislation. This is an important issue in some common law jurisdictions, such as the United States, whatever. So it goes on and talks about that. While a far greater number of cases in recent history have been decided unanimously, decisions in cases of the highest profile have often come down to just one single vote. This is why it's so critical, why it's such a big deal. All right, thereby exposing the justices' ideological beliefs. It says it exposes their beliefs. So most of the time, they're in agreement. Mm-hmm. But there's that says the most, the weightiest is basically what it's saying. The most critical, they're divided. And this is why one person can swing that vote either way. And it says that track with those philosophical political categories. So let me read that whole sentence again. While a far greater number of cases in recent history have been decided unanimously, decisions in cases of the highest profile have often come down to just one single vote, thereby exposing the justices' ideological beliefs that track with those philosophical or political categories. The court meets in Supreme Court building, blah, 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 blah. All right, so you have this nomination process, and this is what happens here. And this is why it's such a big deal that this guy is accused of basically the same thing that Bill Cosby is. The statute of limitations have expired because supposedly it was while he was in high school and college, right? But it no less changes what was done. So they can't try him for it because it's expired. And again, that's their them kind of doctoring the law and all of that, right?
Right.
So they can't try him for it. But they're bringing it out to what? To let you know something about this man's character.
And it, and that's what they've been mentioning on the news. It's about the character. Because they brought out exactly what you said. Because, you know, I follow the news stuff like that. And they were like, yeah, you know, it's not – this isn't a trial, right? But this is a man that is going to be confirmed to be appointed to a position where he may have to hear cases like this. So the bottom line is this: is he going to be impartial, right? And that's really the main issue. But based on what you said, the definition of how the Supreme Court is structured, right, the mere fact that they have large discretion of the Constitution, which is of the law of this land, right, is interesting in and of itself. They get to interpret the law, the definition said, right? That's what's said, which is interesting because we've heard this for years. Oh, that's your interpretation of the Bible.
Right.
Right. But guess what?
Right.
Let's see if that's the interpretation. Real quick, Kevin, I'll give it right back to you. Read Romans 9:13. Let's see if this is an interpretation, if it's clear. Okay, we got to be quicker.
The book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 13. As it is written.
As it is written in the Holy Bible, in the Old and the New Testament.
Jacob have I loved.
Jacob have I loved.
But Esau have I hated.
Is that our interpretation? That's in black and white. There's no interpretation to that. And I go there, again, not to rouse anything up, because it is what it is, right? We know. But just to show the hypocrisy, because remember, you get sworn in on a Bible, and right behind the judge's chambers, his where he sits, it says, in God we trust. So then why don't you trust in this? Why do you get upset? Okay, and I'm really leaning more to, I don't care what Esau thinks or the other. I'm concerned with why our people get upset, because it's our people that, that I'm talking about that say, well, that's your interpretation.
Right.
I don't know. That's pretty clear. Thou shalt not lie. Okay, even though that's not one of the commandments in the Ten Commandments, but Leviticus 19:11 says we shouldn't lie or deal falsely. Is that our interpretation? Or is that what it is? So I just wanted to bring out that parallel, how America, like it, the scripture says, likes to be righteous.
Yeah, there's no interpretation needed for those laws.
No.
It's what it is. You know, and you know, it talks about there's no fault in them. It's the straight way and everything. There's nothing wrong with thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. And if you think about it, what? They have laws on the books in almost every country, in almost every city in the world, that what? There's penalties for stealing. There's penalties for... It used to be that sodomy, and sodomy actually is on the books.
It is on the books.
In a lot of states.
In a lot of states, yep.
As a crime.
Yep.
India was just saying that adultery in India was a crime that was triable in the courts. They just did away with it.
That's why it says that this is the book of the commandments of God that endureth forever. So when people say, oh, that's for that time and not modern times, it goes back to what you just said. How is not stealing and not killing not appropriate for today's times?
I would tell you something. Excuse me. The Ten Commandments doesn't say thou shalt not rape.
Right.
But rape is wrong, right?
Just like I said,
we understand that.
Right?
We understand that. And the Bible is actually clear on that. But there, you know, people talk about, oh, just the ten, or all the laws are done away with. Then you tell them, oh, so that means I can rape, rob, and steal. No, well, that's not right because, you know, this is what this says. Okay, that's based on laws.
Right.
If the New Testament that says idolaters, you know, man stealers, adulterers, all that other stuff won't make it, where do you think that comes from? That's the law. So in one breath you're saying there's no law. Christ crucified all that with himself, right? And then on the other breath you're saying, but no, but you got to do these things.
Well, no, like that's what they say. Well, no, common sense will tell you that it says not to kill. I said, no, it's not common sense because our people, there's no such thing as common sense to all people.
What was it that Bishop has said? He said what was crucified with Christ was the judgment for those sins.
Yes. The law never changed. It was the judgment for breaking the laws that
changed.
Right,
right.
Because according to the old covenant,
that was the grace that he came to give. And that's such a perfect way to put it. I mean, you know, all these years that I was in this and he said that, and you know, you understand that, but to word it simply, like my mind was blown when he said that because I was just like, wow. I was like, yo, that's like... That's really the simplest way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
What was hung on the cross with him was the judgment for those things. That was the imperfection of it. Because how can you ever return to God if most of the judgments were that you got to die?
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, really? Or where the hell in this day and age are we going to freaking find a turtle dove without blemish? This, without, because them pigeons is nasty.
And then where
are
you
going to
sacrifice it? In the backyard?
Right.
Where are you going to project?
Right, right.
Exactly. That's why he said he declared the end from the beginning.
Right,
said,
and that's why when you read later, remember when I did The Way, the Truth, the Life, I was talking about how the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies once a year for the sacrifice and all that. That's all done away with.
Right. He said, you know what, there's going to come a time when there's going to be a thing called PETA, and... My children aren't going to be able to go afford to even pay
that's
for
heavy
online.
Though because you're probably right. You're probably right about that.
PITA.
You're probably right about
you know,
that.
You know, it's just, bro. It's Christianity is a joke.
Is it PETA?
PETA. PETA. Oh no! You're thinking of pita bread.
No, I know what you meant, but I said the wrong.
I'm hungry. I'm hungry too.
You're hungry.
PETA. PETA.
No, he knew that there would come a point in time when. Bro, even back then when we were keeping sacrifice, we weren't doing it perfect because we were like, whatever.
That's what Hebrews 8 is all about.
Absolutely.
That's what Hebrews 10 is all about.
Unbeknownst to Christianity. But like Captain said, the judgment changed because, like you said before, 95% of the things that we did wrong required death.
Most of us are probably here in this room.
Yeah, bro. Yo, I'd be dead like a thousand times over, I think,
over,
bro.
Man.
You know? I mean, really, it's outrageous. But so this is what's going on here. And I want to jump back a little bit to Bill Cosby, right? And you'll understand, because I spoke about maybe being angry, maybe being, you know,
I'm upset,
frustrated.
I'm upset.
I am.
I'm
no,
upset.
I am.
I'm
I am.
Upset. I'm upset. There's no two ways about it. I'm not going to lie. I'm a completely upset, an 83-year-old man.
Hey, it's like Felicia Rashad says. She says, what's on attack here is not this man,
his
but
legacy,
his legacy.
His legacy. Mm-hmm. She said it perfectly.
And it's like, I don't know, man. You know, but then they're going to do the Mr. Rogers movie, and they say he was squeaky clean.
Right.
No, that's not what the things I've heard
about him. They portray him as squeaky. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I've heard other things about him, but they say he was squeaky clean.
Yeah, because he's white. White means unblemished.
Right.
Perfect.
Because he's pure.
Right.
He's not light-skinned. He's right-skinned.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. I like Mr. Rogers. He has some good shows.
I grew up with Mr. Rogers, right? But
Mr. McFeely and
But you know, they don't bring those things out about him based on what? Not trying to destroy that legacy.
Yeah. Well, no, that's what he was saying earlier, that good is set against evil. It's not by accident that they're coming out with a Mr. Rogers movie right when Bill Cosby is
they're trying to say, you see, we're righteous.
Right.
And they are not. It's all bro, they do a diligent the timing. Everything, Creed, okay, Edomite against Jake.
Mm-hmm.
All the timing, man. I'm telling you, they got these movies already listed, man, a long time ago, man. They just find the timing to bring it out, man, to mess with our minds, you blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans.
Programming.
So, you know, so we look at this Bill Cosby thing and this sentencing, and you know, the other thing that's funny is that remember, he was tried twice on this because the hung jury.
Yep.
On that, so meaning that you know, the first time around there was people that they had like, you know, reasonable doubt and they couldn't agree. So you know, people talk about double jeopardy. You can't be tried twice for something. So like, if you get a not guilty verdict, you could basically go out the courthouse and confess that I did do it, ha ha, and they can't try you again for it, right? I think the rapper just did that recently. They were saying like he was told he was not guilty and then he basically confessed to it or something
on Facebook,
like,
or Facebook. Right?
Yeah, some craziness like that. I know. Right. But you can't. So he was tried again. And then again, like you said, in the midst of the Me Too movement and everything else, they were like, oh, we got to get something.
Hey, they said some of the jurors were like, hey, let's just hurry up and find him guilty so we can leave.
Wow.
Bo, if once a judge hears that, he is supposed to rule it a mistrial.
See, man, that's why the scripture doesn't say be judged by a jury of your peers. Yet they can be witnesses of your people, but the judgment ultimately has to come from the spiritual men.
Mm-hmm. And this right here, this
right.
has to be the
and
judgment.
And that's the measure of it, right? But so what I was going to say is that the reason you can't get frustrated by this, we've often said this, and, you know, I'm going to bring the scripture out on it. It's one of our curses. This is why I say it's the calamity of our people to be judged of the other nations. All right. That's a form of the punishment that we're under. Mm-hmm. Right. But before I get to that, let's get to Romans 13. Mm-hmm. Right. I want to read that. And then I want you to get Deuteronomy 32 and 31 just to hold that. So you can understand that it was prophetic that we would be judged of our enemies. All right. So get me what I asked you to in Romans 13.
What verse?
Start at 1.
Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers.
It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Right? We always wonder, why? Is this just a command from Paul? Remember, Paul saw a lot of things. He saw the future and what hell. Remember, he said he wished that he could be afflicted for our sake, for what was going to come. Read.
For there is no power but of God.
God put these judges over us. God put these heathen nations over us to judge our people. We are so corrupt. We are so full of philosophies and doctrines of deceit and rudiments, right, that we wouldn't give proper judgment. Even when we could, when we, in the time of judges, mm-hmm. We were all out of order, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Go ahead, read.
The powers that be are ordained of God.
The powers that are in charge today are ordained of God. And I'm going to read the scripture that says it was ordained. I'll explain in a minute. Go ahead.
Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God.
If you resist the power, you resist the ordinance of God. This is why we say, a lot of times we bring this out to tell you, yo, you know, you got to obey the laws that are over you and stuff like that, right?
Right.
So long as it doesn't put you in a position where, you know, there's no laws in the book now where they say you can't teach the Bible, you can't do this, that, or the other. There will be a time that that'll come, and then that's when you got to stand for that.
Don't tarry, wait for it.
Right. Go ahead, read.
And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
You resist this, you're resisting the will of God. Go ahead.
For rulers are not a terror to good works.
Listen, if you're doing what the Most High requires of you, then you don't got to worry about these judgment systems or anything like that. Go ahead, read.
But to the evil, will thou then not be afraid of the power?
Right. So the point that I'm making is we spoke about Cosby was certainly an adulterer. He certainly wasn't keeping the law, statutes and commandments. All right. But the frustration in this is that they're saying he drugged and raped these women. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I believe they were partying. They offered themselves up to try to advance their career or whatever it was. And when it didn't come to fruition, out of bitter grapes, this is what happened.
Bitter grapes.
All right. Bitter grapes. Sour grapes. Get me Deuteronomy 32 and 31.
The book of Deuteronomy.
And this is just a small part of a prophecy. All right. This is they call this the Song of Moses. This was the Most High that told them to write all this stuff down. And there's a few other steps to it. We're going over this in our class today, by the way, when it comes to rebellion. But go ahead. Read that.
Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 31. For their rock is not as our rock.
So it says for their rock, and then it has it lowercase, those who don't want to follow after the Most High in Christ. Right. Because the rock is Christ. He says that rock. What? Their trust in Egypt, their trust in the judicial system and all that other stuff. It says that what they put their foundation on, their rock is not our rock, which is Christ. Go ahead.
Even our enemies themselves being judges.
It says for their rock is not our rock. It says even our enemies themselves are enemies. It was prophesied that our enemies would be our judges because we don't trust in God. We don't put our faith in that. So it is a perfect righteous judgment. Get me Habakkuk 1 and 4. But here's why that makes it so messed up. And the Lord knew. The Lord knew. This is why I say this is the calamity of our people that we must deal with. It's angry and it's frustrating when you see things like this. Listen, I'm not saying that but there are some Negroes that deserve to be locked up. We read that in Romans 13, right?
Without a doubt.
It's not a terror to people who are doing right. It's a terror to that. And it's part of the ordinance of the Most High. But read this. Because this is the parallels with Kavanaugh now. Although he's not on trial, this is the parallels. Go ahead.
Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 4. Therefore the law is lax, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth.
It says wrong judgment proceedeth. Wrong judgment. Why does wrong judgment proceed? We just read because of the way the whole court system is set up. The Supreme Court, the interpretation of law, the philosophies, and all those different things like that. This is why wrong judgment proceedeth. Get me Zechariah 11 and 5. This is why you can have situations like this.
The book of Zechariah, chapter 11, verse 5. Whose possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty.
It says they hold themselves not guilty. Our possessors are these heathen nations that rule over us today. All right, that's all I want on that. It says they hold themselves not guilty. Actually, read the rest of that because there's something that I want to bring out here because we're talking about Wendy Williams. Can't stand that chick.
She's Jake. She could repent, but just the way in her state now, she's we can't stand.
Right,
Wendell Williams.
Wendell Williams.
Zechariah 11 verse 5. Whose possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty, and they that sell them say, "Blessed be the Lord, for I am rich," and their own shepherds pity them not.
You know why? Because Wendy Williams was going in on that stuff, right? See, she's not really a shepherd in the sense, but I'm gonna take this a different route, right? You have people who have a voice for our people,
right?
Who have a platform for our people, and instead of speaking up, see, we're keeping it real, right? The law says you don't commit adultery. Right. Cosby was wrong for that, all right? Certainly. And then look at the outcome of this now. Now these chicks came back years later talking all this BS, and there was an article that came out recently. A brother posted it. I don't have it. Is that he was still serious about NBC recently?
Yes.
So we're not talking about when he first made the attempt in the 80s at the height of his popularity. More recently, I don't know what the dates were. I think it was in the 2000s. And so why do you think all this stuff is coming out again?
Mm-hmm.
No, because they knew how he was. Why? It's not just because a black man was going to buy NBC. All right? Mm-hmm. It was because of what you said earlier. What he did with Little Rascals told them he's going to try to change the narrative that's being displayed.
Right.
He may not want homosexual references and shows that are aired on the network.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to want racially biased things on the network. We got to break this man down and destroy whatever legacy he had.
Just the Cosby show by itself. He was a doctor. His wife was a lawyer.
Yeah.
Right. They were both in the household. They had kids.
His kids were disciplined. They were well respected.
It was a positive visual for our people.
Whoa.
And then they
said
a whole network of TV shows like this, no, let's not do that,
bro. I would see that and it was like, wow, this is what we could be,
right?
And right, because you know, I mean, knowing our background, we grew up in the projects, right? We were one of the few Hispanic families amongst, you know, a whole bunch of so-called black families, and we never saw, you know, that caliber. It was like, wow, you know, that is possible for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because all around you just see, you're from the projects. Y'all no good. You kill each other in there.
Right.
Yeah, he lived in a brownstone.
Bulls in the net.
You know?
Nice brownstone. Bro,
yeah.
But I'm talking about, like, you know, just a lot of morals and convictions.
Right.
And
each show had a situation that we all dealt with at
right.
that time as kids
right.
and a solution.
Right.
Obviously, it wasn't a biblical solution, but at the time it was like, yeah, okay, so we could. You know,
the point
survivor.
Is, yes, right. Listen, I said this when we were over there in Memphis and we saw the Lorraine Hotel and everything. We have to change the mindset. I know a lot of times, like, I remember I was guilty of it. A lot of us were at one time coming into this truth. And the men that laid the foundation, you got to understand, God's hand was in all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So these men that fought for any measure of equality or a positive image of our people, though the Bible was lacking, they should not be condemned for that. Yeah, be condemned for their sins and whatever, but you can't say their movements didn't account for something. There was a cumulative effect that helped to inspire people today.
During the Jim Crow laws, right, and the black codes before that, so-called blacks and Hispanics couldn't gather more than what? It was like four or six people at like a time? Or it was something like that. Like,
yeah, you
like,
couldn't gather in like certain number of groups, right?
It was illegal to be in like a large group. We couldn't do what we did in Memphis if those things were still around. And it was because of the movement of Martin Luther King Jr. and everyone else fighting for civil rights.
Hey, we even got a permit for that thing.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. And then us even going out to, like, camp with, you know, 8 strong, 10 strong, we couldn't do that 50, 60 years ago.
No, nope.
There's just no way that would be possible.
So, yeah. So they played an integral role.
Right, and Cosby did, too. So that's the reason I bring that up, is like you were saying. So, yeah, you know what? Without him saying it was the Bible, a lot of his solutions in that show were biblical.
Mm-hmm.
It was things and ways that we would sit down and explain things to our children,
right,
and stuff like
they
that.
They were morally right.
They were morally right based on what the scripture said,
the
world.
The positive visual that the Cosby Show gave us is the same thing today that when the Black Panther came out, all the Edomites and all the other nations were pissed off that we had a black superhero. And like you said, even though it wasn't biblical, giving a positive image of a so-called black man as a superhero to the youth was powerful for our people, and the nations hated that thing.
No, and then they were like so shocked that what's the big deal? It is a big deal because all your superheroes have always been present
right
in front of you.
Right, exactly.
You even took our freaking superhero Christ and made him present in front of you,
right,
made him look like you. So
right,
we finally got one on the big screen that they were able to put special effects and all that stuff to.
Yeah.
To help create a visual for us. Hey, and that goes to show you even more, man, why our people, it's important that we have these signs, illustrate things for our people,
mm-hmm,
whether it's visually, all right, or audibly, right? You know, whatever it might be, you got to awaken the senses of our people. We respond to that in kind because people lost their mind because they were able to see this.
Mm-hmm.
Black Panther's been in the comics for years, and he never got that. But to put him in that medium and whatever,
right, right,
you know what I'm saying? Oh, hell yeah. But you had us freaking making millions upon millions of dollars for your freaking heroes that look like you.
That's why it drives me nuts.
And that's why I'm glad it did so good the way it did, man.
When the people say, oh, it doesn't matter. Are you kidding me? Of course it matters. It's imagery matters in all things.
Hey, even in Avengers, when his scene came, everybody was like, all right, now it's going on.
No.
When they saw Wakanda.
Civil War, Avengers.
Yeah, but I'm saying the Infinity War.
When
now that he came in, remember,
yeah,
it was, they were getting their behind
and
kick,
notice,
right?
That's where they went.
They had to go to Wakanda.
And that's where they went to stage it.
They had to go to Judah.
They had to go to, They said, damn, the final battle is going to take place right here in freaking Wakanda. Hey, and they was holding it down with that technology. They were just like, damn, all right, we're going to have to open this thing up to deal with it, you know? But damn, that thing was heavy. You got something you want to bring up?
Yeah, this is Hosea 3, verse 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. So I want to point out the image thing.
Mm-hmm.
Imagery is important in all things. That's how we can have 400 slaves be overseen by only 4 individuals.
Right.
Because they took away our image. We weren't uplifted at the image of our people in power. But when we saw a slave master, we saw God, we saw Christ. That's why all these things, them saying, okay, Cosby wants to buy NBC, that's a huge deal because he was going to portray righteous images to our people.
And that was an incredible chess move.
It's empowering is what it is.
Exactly.
And you know, to maintain the status quo, us at the bottom, them at the top, you cannot really empower us, or you have to do so methodically. And I'm going to make a parallel to this, all right? It's like the way you train dogs, okay? They tell you mostly use positive reinforcement, right? And that's the one where they look to please you, so they'll do stuff. And you should be able to start making the parallels this, right? Because you got your Uncle Toms that look to please their masters and all that stuff like that. But let me ask you this. Almost any dog, or maybe a little Chihuahua can, but they'll do some damage. But a regular-sized dog, a human being, barehanded, is not going to win that conflict.
Mm-hmm.
My dog, that's not even known to be a vicious dog, if he wanted to get up at you, you are not winning that conflict.
Right.
Tell me, with your bare hands, you're going to win against a dog if a dog is coming at you. This is the point that I want to make. Yet we're over here in power over these animals and the techniques that we use to train them. It's the same type of mentality when you said you can have 4 people over 400 people.
Mm-hmm.
They don't feel empowered. So they're like that loyal dog, all right, or even the frightened dog. Because, right, if you go the other way and you beat the crap out of your pet, you're not going to have the most healthy dog as far as mindset or whatever in psychology. But guess what? How the hell can you, with a newspaper, intimidate the crap out of a big, right? Because that's the image, right? A rolled up newspaper, you hit him. And the dog is terrified, tail goes down, he runs away, or whatever it is. That dog could tear you up. We're talking about Pitbull Rottweiler, all
right? Right.
But you're not winning barehanded against a Rottweiler, or a Pit.
Hell no.
Or German Shepherd, or Doberman, or even a 100-pound lab,
mm-hmm,
all right? You ain't winning.
It's only because why? You have clearly defined and put in, I am the head and you are the tail. And you have this fear coupled with loyalty and everything else that creates this perfect storm, that creates the Uncle Tom.
Yep. Yep.
And this is why you can walk a dog and he'll know not to go too far off the leash. But you, all these different things. And what do you think? They've been training dogs like that for years. And then they said, hey, it is the same philosophy we can apply to these slaves right here.
That's right.
And we can do this type of thing here. And guess what? You only need one per hundred to watch over them. You don't need an army to keep track of these because they will not rise up.
Mm-hmm.
They will not rise up. Like when I spoke about at the lecture too, like how, you know, Native Americans didn't make great slaves because they knew the land. So when they would escape, they could just beat the hell out, right? And I used Apocalypto, how his advantage was knowing the lay of the land there because those other ones weren't from the jungle. So they Jaguar Paw was able to hold it down. Why? Because he understood the whole environment. But that wasn't the case with Africa. So that was the other thing. These slaves came over from you know, Israelite slaves from the west coast of Africa.
They
didn't know the terrain. So they go out into the swamp and they just freaking die. They get eat by a gator out there or something like that. You know? So, I mean, there's just so much that comes with the psychology of that thing. And this is why it's so dangerous to empower a people like us.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that we're gifted. We're the best athletes. We're the best scientists.
That's Exodus 1 when it said that this people is more and mightier than we. So let's deal wisely with them.
And this was the Egyptians saying this.
That's heavy. That's heavy right there, bro. Mm-hmm. They are more and mightier.
This was the Egyptians saying this.
They are right. The great Egyptians that some of our people think are the greatest civilization ever.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They are more than mightier. So it says let's deal wisely with them. And wisely doesn't mean let's be friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have amity with them. It means we're going to use wisdom in how we manage our rulership over these people.
Right, exactly. Wisely means not selling NBC to Cosby.
Wisely means convict our leaders, right? Shame them in the eye of public opinion. Mm-hmm. All right. It wisely means don't put us in any type of wisely means put us, give them a little bit of leeway, put them in some positions. It's the illusion of inclusion. Make them think they're this, that, and the other. All right. Wisely is the judicial system. You saw the 13th Amendment, right? The documentary, we watched that and how they use the prison to violate our rights and things like that. Wisely means, hey, for the same crimes, we're going to take it easy on if, you know, if they are people.
Yep.
You know,
wisely would be like for you two, for instance, that are like a little bit older than us. The generation that you guys come from is one where Bill Cosby was building schools, and he was. Remember, we see the videos when the kids are like, "I'm black and beautiful," right? Mm-hmm. He was empowering the youth. He was uplifting them. That's what you guys remember. Him making a show with positive imagery. Kids nowadays are going to know him as a Jello eating rapist. That's it.
They'll make fun of it. They'll jump on a bandwagon.
Damn, that thing's just going to be pissed when you said that because that's exactly how they're going to look at him.
Yep.
That's it. No matter what. Well, he can get out, still be alive. He get out in 3 years. I'm going to say he got 3 to 10. He get out in 3 years, still be alive, and do so much good. Mm-hmm. And they're always going to remember just that part of it.
But you know what? Even if he got out in 1 year, right? Good behavior, whatever. The damage has been done.
But you want to know hypocrisy? Kavanaugh will get nominated to the Supreme Court. He'll get the seat, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Maybe not, but let's say he gets the seat.
He'll get the seat.
And they won't remember these accusations against him.
Nothing.
It's powerful, bro. The Kool-Aid is strong. Their Umin and Thumin is heavy duty, I'll tell you. Yeah, man. You know, I'm gonna you know, start wrapping this up. I know we started late, a little bit of a shorter show today. Just unless we got some final thoughts on any of this stuff, it's just I'm a little depressed now. Thank you, Mariah.
No, it is what it is, man. You know what? It's unfortunate, but it's for visual. So they need to see these things that we're not equal as far as how we get treated. And affliction must come to our people in us in order for us to return back to God.
That's really what it is. Yeah. I mean, you know, like I said, some of that stuff is going to come out in the class. I'm going over today. A lot of the scriptures cover that, though, but I'm going to be going over some things today for the body here that will talk about that stuff. That's the method by which he's going to provoke us to righteousness again.
Right. I mean, it sucks he's getting locked up, but it's not like he's going to, you know, LA County Jail. You know, he's going to be playing tennis every day.
I don't know, man. They're saying they threw a stale hot dog bun at him and they threw
him. Hold on, they let him fall down the steps. Because remember, he's legally blind. He's legally blind, man. Remember?
I don't know,
man.
81 years old, bro. It's still prison, bro.
No. I'm not trying to downplay it whatsoever.
And then when you have his kind of life and the money he had, you know what I'm saying? Like fluffy slippers. You wake up in the morning, fluffy slippers.
He
you
had
know
a
what
house
I'm
up in Fieldston by Manhattan College.
Beef
man.
Wellington, eggs Benedict.
He'll have fluffy slippers, yo.
I don't know. That's what Wendy Williams was trying to say. She was like, yeah, they were saying that he was...
Wendell?
Wendell. They said that Wendy Williams was saying like, they allegedly he said in jail, you know, get the checkbook and pay whoever you got to get me out of here. That he has a level of pomp or whatever.
So what's wrong with that?
So Esau does that shit all the time. Now hey, you mad? Man. Now you mad because you got a black man that has that type of power to probably get something to happen? Because they're going to try to appeal the decision, they said. But he has to stay locked up now. They were saying they were hoping he would have got house arrest while they did the appeal, and it counts as time served.
If there's an Uncle Tom, then she is definitely the Auntie Tammy. That chick, I can't stand Wendell Williams.
In Goodfellas, in federal prison, they were getting wine, Italian bread. They got to chill in their own little thing.
They sure did. They cooked.
And that's a true story.
They had a whole little wing there. Where
they had a whole little wing, man. They were hooked up. Nobody, you know.
Get the bread.
Now we could eat. No, waiting for the wine. Now we could eat.
You know what? You know, whether it be like that or whether it be he does harsh time, whatever the case may be. Again, it's just it's just the Most High letting us know. Listen, it don't matter what status you obtain or how much money you have, you still are not equal to these nations because you broke my commandments.
That's it. That's it.
And that's what this is all about. At the end of the day.
That's it. Anyway, that's the show for this week. We pray you've been edified. As always, like, share, support. All right. It's very important that we get this message out. We get this word out, especially, again, in the different forms that we do it. People are so used to just seeing us on the street, mm-hmm. right, which is a different environment, man. That's you know, you got to deal appropriately. We have different mediums that we're able to use, and it's nice for people to see us in a different light talking about things that affect our people. So definitely go ahead and share and spread this information around. All right. So this is the Native Latin and Black Boss History Show, and Lord's Will we'll be on next week. We're signing off.
Shalom. Shalom.